I'm on, aren't I? Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Oh, wow. The presence of God this morning was just... Who felt it today? So good. I was like thinking, I don't really want to preach at the moment. I just want to soak. But obviously, we're going to be continuing. I feel like I'm really loud. Am I really loud? Yeah, I'm okay. So we're going to continue, as Sam said, in our study of Moses. We're going to be looking at, for those of you who've got your Bibles, Exodus 19, verses 3-6. And I'm just going to read it now. It says, "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although, yes, wow, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation.'" Amen. So if you remember last week, Clive preached the time, that amazing story of when God parted the Red Sea and led the Israelites out of Egypt. And it was amazing, wasn't it? Well, here it's 3 months on from that. 3 months doesn't seem that long ago. But God is saying to Moses, he said, remember. He's telling his people to remember because they've already forgotten. Does that ring any bells? Remember how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What a picture. God brought the Israelites, his people, out of slavery, out of captivity. They were living such a harsh life. They were enslaved. They had no way out. They were living in torment. They had no freedom. And God saw their pain. God heard their cries. He saw the situation that they were in. And he rescued them. He set them free. And it goes on to say that if they fully obey my covenant, they will be my chosen people, my treasured possession, a holy nation. So the key things I want to talk about today is our new identity in Christ. You know, like the Israelites, Jesus has set us free. We just took communion and he said, do this in remembrance of me. God paid the price on the cross. He shed his blood and he set us free. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we're now slaves to righteousness. We are his children, his son, his daughter, because we've been adopted into his family. And often, you know, we quote this, don't we? But do we really believe it? Do we really believe that we are sons and daughters of the living God? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, God wants us to renew our mind. He wants us to actually train the way we think and bring it into obedience of Christ. Every thought we need to take captive, but we need to train and develop it. If our thoughts, our minds are surrendered to God, our lives will be transformed. He changes your mind so he can change your life. Repentance is not saying sorry. Repentance is not tears at an altar. Repentance is changing the way we think. It's turning around our thought life and saying, you know what? I'm not going to think about that person in that way anymore. I'm not going to see my spouse like that anymore. And I'm not going to see my circumstance in that way anymore. I'm going to think better. Now, this is really important. You'll never surpass your thought life. In fact, right thinking leads to right living. If you think right, you'll live right. Because transformation doesn't come from sacrifice. Transformation comes from renewing your mind, believing in something different than you currently believe. Because the same belief system that got you here today will not get you out. Research, you know, has actually proven that the average person never moves out of that same economic or social status that they were born into. And the funny thing is, it's not because they're not trying, because everyone is made in God's image and has that desire for increase, whether it's in our finances, whether it's in self-growth, whatever it is. So all these people around the world were trying to move out of the level that we were born into. However, studies that have been made have discovered the reason why the average person never moves out of that level is because they tried to do something different before they believe something different. Isn't that amazing? We think, if I can make myself do it, I will become it. Church, the good news is you already are it. You already a whole new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We just have to come into agreement with what God says we are. Amen? See, that's why the enemy is trying to fight for our minds. He's trying to steal our identity. He knows if he can get in there and bring torment, he can bring fear and bring all kinds of evil thoughts, he will win our lives. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited to renew my mind. You know, the problem the Israelites had was their old way of thinking, their slave mentality. They'd already forgotten what God had done. They grumbled, they complained, they wished they died in Egypt. And that's where many of us are now. We're saved, but we still have that same slave mentality. Our thinking needs to change. You don't work for salvation, but we work from salvation. Because you are already free. You are already a child of God, and the devil loves to lie to us about who we already are. You see, I love this story. An apple tree, okay, bear with me now, an apple tree gets its name before it even produces any apples. True or false? Yeah. So, you know, even if an apple tree dies before it ever has an apple, what is it called? Yes, an apple tree. You see, an apple tree doesn't get its identity from working hard and performing and making apples. It gets its identity from what it was created to do. That set me free. God's trying to renew your mind, because if you think better, you're going to live better. Paul said to Timothy, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind." Now, if you look at the Greek word of that sound mind, it literally translates to disciplined thinking. That's what sound mind is, disciplined thinking. You have the ability to think right because you have Holy Spirit in you. God didn't give you fear. Fear is from the enemy. Fear is what will get you to conform to look like the rest of the world. Fear is what will get you into all kinds of issues in life. No, God gave you a spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. You see, most of us, we don't know what it's like to have a sound and disciplined mind, because we're often pre-living or reliving. Have you ever sat with your kids and you're there, but you're not really there? Your mind is somewhere else. And one of my daughter's favourite question is, "Mommy, did you hear what I said?" And I'm often, she's caught me out because my mind was somewhere else. And I don't know about you, but I think many of us struggle to be present. There's so many distractions in this world, aren't there? And something God has been speaking to me in the last few months is, be present in my presence. Because I'm like there, you know, I sit every morning at my chair, do my quiet time. My body is there, but my mind's not there. Because I'm busy reliving or pre-living. And being prophetic, it's like I'm always visionary. I'm always looking ahead. But what I'm really doing is I'm worrying. I'm worrying, what is today going to have in store for me? What is tomorrow going to have in store for me? And I'm seeing today and tomorrow in the eyes of what went before. And I'm just stressed out. I'm already dreading the day. And I'm like, God is like saying, be present. And I'm like over there, you know. And often we're either pre-living or reliving, because you know what? Your mind is shaped by trauma, drama, daddy and mama. I love that. Chad Veach. Look him up. Your mind is shaped by trauma, drama, daddy and mama. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a sound mind. We need to start working on our mind and on our thinking. Instead of exercise, we need to innercise. You know, Lloyd, I knew you'd like that one. You know, the average person, okay, I love a bit of stacks. It says the average person thinks 40,000 negative thoughts a day. In fact, around 80% of your thoughts are reoccurring thoughts. They're not new thoughts, they're reoccurring. And most of us, we struggle to think right. You know, we're called to love him, and not only with our hearts. Remember that scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, okay? So for many of us, I think God has our hearts. You know, we're here. It's like, God, we want to hear from you. We want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And just recently, God was saying, I want your mind, Angela. I want your thoughts. I want your thoughts surrendered to me. Because God wants us to love him with our mind and with our soul as well. Because that's where all the emotions and feelings are. Because, you know, when we feel and the emotions rise, especially, you know, I'm talking about the negative ones, you know, it'll cause us to think, won't it? It'll cause us to think in a negative way. It'll often affect the way we think. So God is after our minds. This is what's going to bring transformation. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that is filled with peace, with joy, with love. And just to share a little bit, we have a bakery business, and about 3 months ago, we moved completely to a brand new site. It's double the size where we were, and it's just so much bigger, and there's just so many, you know, everything is new. And I've been honest. I've been totally exhausted. I've been overwhelmed. I have just had so much anxiety. And I shared, I think, a couple of months ago at the front where I had been experiencing chest pain. And I finally, because it persisted for about 3 weeks, on and off, and I finally called the doctor. I thought, this isn't normal. And straight away, they called me in for some checks. Well, the next day, the pains got worse and more persistent. And I prayed and I repented for not trusting God. He began to reveal the lies I was believing, and I had to lay it on the cross. He showed me all my fears, my need to control everything, my need to have everything in place, in the way I like it, in the timing that I like it, etc., etc. Anyone else out there? And if not, I'd feel panic and dread, you know, whether we would be able to manage, you know, the customers each day. You know, the fear of being overwhelmed, the fear of not being strong enough, the fear of just not being enough. And he revealed to me the lie that I needed to be fast. Does that speak to anyone today? I'm always in a rush. And I'd learned this growing up, you see, because in my family, being fast and efficient was a real virtue. And because of this, I struggle with impatience, I'll admit it. And I saw rushing and being quick at something as something to be admired. And I never even realized up until now that this was a lie. It was actually a spirit I'd partnered with throughout my life. And as I prayed, I asked God when I first believed that lie. And I had to forgive my family for teaching me this lie. And as I did, I repented and I renounced partnership with this lie. And I handed it over to Father God. And immediately, I just felt his peace. The pain went immediately. And I have never had chest pain since. Have you heard that famous proverb? If you want to go fast, then go alone. Wonder why you're on your own? If you want to go further, then go together. And I think that's where God wants us, to go further and together. God has continued, you know, to speak to me about going slow, slow down. You see, Jesus never rushed around, stressed out, panicking that he needed to get to his next appointment. Yet Jesus was so fruitful. He achieved so much in his time on earth, but he only did what the Father asked him to do. And he made his time with the Father his priority time. You see, the world teaches us to go fast. Time is money. We've had it ingrained in us, haven't we? Growing up, my parents and family celebrated tasks performed quickly and efficiently. And I loved things done this way. But in my haste, rushing around, right, mums, listen to this, rushing myself, rushing others, opens us up to evil. Because rushing often leads to anger, worry, anxiety, nervousness, fear, dread, many more. Did you know in the Lord's Prayer, that phrase where it says, deliver us from evil. Yeah, come on now, Diane. That word evil, translated, means pressed and harassed by labours. Wow, that set me free. You see, sometimes we press and harass our kids to hurry up, to get to bed, to get ready for school. Because when we rush, we don't have time for people. We're too busy. If evil in Greek language means to hurry, as soon as I'm in a rush, I'm probably not following Jesus anymore. Being in a hurry can be actually a symptom of evil. Of course, there's times, okay, don't get me wrong, there's times when God's timing requires our urgent decisions. But when we rush and do things out of God's timing, out of His grace, we'll lose our peace, we'll lose our joy, our strength, and our hope. You see, God, have you noticed this? He's never in a hurry. He is outside of time. There is enough time in each day to accomplish all that God has called you to do. That is a word for someone here today. If you're being overwhelmed, thinking there's not enough time in the day, God is saying to you, there is enough time to accomplish everything that God has called you to do. You know, knowing that I need not rush anymore, you know, and just seeking God, what His will for me is that day, has just really helped me to just experience and hold His peace. Just knowing that He's there to protect me, to deliver me, to provide for me, it's really set me free. We need to start training our minds to change our lives. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trusted you." So how do I get peace in my life? I keep my mind on Jesus. Problem is, we will never have faith for a different future as long as we have more faith in our past. Faith isn't blind, it's visionary. Unless you can see a different future, you will probably reenact your past. We cannot use our past experience to determine our future. Whatever you've gone through in the past, God said, "I can do all things." He can turn it around completely for good. The problem is, it's that whole reliving, reimagining those negative experiences over and over. And then we begin to define ourselves by them. You know, how many of us rehearse our failures, all the problems that have happened that day? You know, whatever you rehearse the most, you will define yourself by. If you think you're a failure, then you'll see yourself a failure. If you think nobody likes you, that's what you'll look for, evidence that people don't like you. See, your brain actually has strongholds, and it will view life through the veil of what you already believe. If you believe you're inadequate, then every single day your brain is looking for proof of inadequacy. You'll go to bed at night and rehearse all the experiences of the day. You'll not forget, you'll not remember all the positive things. You'll just remember, oh, I failed there, I was inadequate there. The weird thing is, this is the good news, is you can retrain your brain to look for something different. See, one of my biggest strongholds, as I shared, was the need to go quick, to do things quickly, and, you know, if I didn't, or if others didn't do it in the speed I'd like them to, I'd feel overwhelmed. And one of the things that God asked me to do was to start to write down each day, just write down my prayer, what I was asking Him to do that day. I literally did it for about a week every day. And I would pray, "God, will you break in today? Will you give me the grace to do all that you have called me to do? Will you bring the customers in a manner that we can manage? Will you give me the grace to, you know, make coffee in the way and in the timing that you have asked of me, Father God, and help me not be overwhelmed?" And I would write this prayer each morning, And then the following morning, I would just look and think, wow, God did this and God did that. And God did this. That was amazing. And I did it for a week. And every day, God answered my prayers. You see, I started to train my mind to look for something different. It's so easy to look for all the negatives each day and focus on that. But we need to start training our minds to look for something different. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2. And then one of my favourites, Philippians 4:8. Looking at Cecilia, because we always talk about this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay, finally, God wants to change what you believe, because beliefs determine the way you think, your mindset. And the way you think, your mindset, is what drives your behavior. You see, God is not trying to change your behavior. God is not trying to change your behavior. He's trying to change your belief. So today, I'm going to ask you, what are the lies you're believing? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about yourself? Do you see God as a good, good father? You know, God that causes his face to shine upon you, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who's just got arms wide open for you any time of the day? Or do you see God as an angry father? Maybe a stingy father? Or maybe you think God is disappointed in you? Or maybe you see God as an unfair God. You see, anger says, I'm mad at you. Jealousy says, I'm mad at God. You gave me a bad hand. You're unfair to me. You love them and you don't love me. Are you believing any lies about God today? He wants to change your beliefs so that his truth will set you free. Amen. Because that's when we look like his children. We're called to be a holy nation. We're set apart, we're sanctified, we're his children. We represent the Father. So I'm just going to invite the worship team, because I just want to spend some time. It's activation day today, guys, because God wants to meet with us. God wants to meet with us. Yeah. The word I had today, as we were praying this morning, was taste and see that God is good. He is good. And if you think God isn't good, or he's not that good, then you haven't tasted him yet. So there's an invitation today. Why don't we just stand? You know, if you want more of God, if you want to taste and see God's goodness, God is wanting to renew our minds. You know, we've talked about transition, but actually we're in a season of transformation. God is transforming each and every one of us. It's not just a case we're in a new season. God is transforming us for what he has in store for us. It's that new wineskin. The old has to go. The old has to go. The new has to come so he can pour into his new wine. He wants to change your beliefs. Jesus. He wants to replace those lies with truth and set you free. So if you want God's peace, if you want his joy, if you just want to know that God loves you and he desires you, that you're his son, you're his daughter, then follow me in prayer. Just say it out loud where you are. So just follow me. Say, Father God, show me where you are right now. And just sense him. He might be just right there in front of you. Wherever he is, just sense where he is. And then just follow me. Father God, is there a lie I'm believing about you? First learn this lie. Yeah. It might just be showing you that, you know, your daddy, he paid more attention to my sibling more than me. Or maybe growing up, your dad was there, but he wasn't there. He was just distant. His mind was wandering. And the lie you're believing is that Father God is also like that. So just follow me. I choose to forgive the person. So just say their name. I choose to forgive the person who taught me this lie. Forgive me, Father God, for believing this lie about you too. To say, I no longer partner with this lie. And I hand this lie over to you, Father God. Truth, do you have for me instead? Truth. Amen.